Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
If I can quote the great Rick O'Connell from this third Mummy film, here we bloody go again, Mason, with this shit.
Oh, yeah? Is that what he says?
There's a moment where he's like, the mummy's back, and he's like, a different mummy.
And is this your vibe?
Very much so.
Interesting. I would say this, because I'd not seen this movie before. I'm seeing this in the year 2020 as an adult man.
Wow.
Arguably a man. I thought this was the second best of the series. But bearing in mind it's a trilogy, that also makes it the second worst of the series.
Absolutely.
I think it's better than The Mummy Returns.
Yeah, you might be right, but there is a lot I feel missing at the heart of this, which makes it less compelling, way less funny. The characters don't mesh as well.
Well, I mean, saying that, I did start watching this and I'm like, this is pretty good. I'm sad I didn't see this earlier on. But at one point I did pause and I saw that there was an hour left and I'm like, oh, I'll finish it tomorrow. So you're right, it is probably not as compelling, especially, compared to the first one.
Absolutely. Oh, if people could leave a like on this video, that'd be great. Because look, we wrapped up the Mummy trilogy as requested. Is that not worth something to somebody somewhere?
It's certainly worth a like, I think.
Yeah, thank you. So, of course, Stephen Sommers left this project. He was working on G.I. Joe, I believe, at the time, which came out the year later. Rob Cohen is on board as director. He mentions in the behind-the-scenes stuff that this is edgier and bigger and all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's certainly bigger.
Yep.
There's more guns and people being like, look at this gun, look at this gun.
I feel it's also grayer.
Yes, it is.
It's like a grayer movie, but I think maybe that... Was this the start of the era when they just color graded everything kind of gray and brown?
It may
like
have colour been, yeah.
Colour disappeared from the movie. We're still in that era, by the way, but the colour just disappeared.
Yeah, right.
Like, edgy is grey.
Is grey, that's right. Of course, he came hot off the back of the first Fast and Furious, the XXX franchise. He's just wrapped up Hurricane Heist. It's hit cinemas.
That's right.
What was it? Who knows?
Who knows? Were they stealing a hurricane?
The thing is, though, I do admire that it goes in a slightly different direction than the second one. The second one is pretty much a flat retread.
Yes.
And the idea of working in the Terracotta Warriors is a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And bringing in Jet Li, Michelle Yeoh, I think the CGI is better for the most part. The bit where he's spewing up the terracotta,
yeah,
when he's transforming into the mummy.
Look, I really like the design of Jet Li's Dragon Emperor especially. I love the fact that he's been cursed to become this terracotta warrior. And so he has this sort of expressionless clay face.
Mm.
But if he wants to emote, like he has to tear it off his head.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot of screaming and then it sort of regrows around his face.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
I completely agree. I think it's way better than bringing back Imhotep again. Because the story is, of course... It's essentially the mummy, but in China. A guy gets cursed for doing a thing and whatever. The backstory feels like a really long time in this one compared to the first one as well.
I think it's a standard issue curse if you're an ancient ruler.
Yeah.
Anywhere around the world, you step out of line, somebody's going to curse you eventually.
And again, I defer to my comments on the first movie, the video we did for this. Just cut his throat. Don't give him the weird immortal curse where he comes back as a terrible monster where he can turn into both a dragon and a dog or something.
Right.
Just cut his throat.
Yeah. Hit him with a brick.
Hit him with a brick. A terracotta brick.
Turn one of his other soldiers into a terracotta warrior. Hit him with the terracotta warrior. But so this one's set in sort of 1946, I think.
Yep.
So it's post-World War II. And so Rick O'Connell and Evelyn O'Connell, they're retired, but they apparently, we didn't see it, but they spent some time doing some more adventuring and sort of participating in some World War II espionage.
I didn't want to see any of that anyway, Mason.
And I think maybe one of the missions required Evelyn O'Connor to have massive plastic surgery to turn her into Maria Bello. What do you think of that?
It's jarring. I think she does a good job in the role, but I think the chemistry is not there. And that's also part of it because they're like, we're not even banging anymore. Right. That's a plot point.
They're both bored. They're in a sexless marriage, which is weird because they're both incredibly attractive people.
Yeah.
Which makes me believe that it's not that. It's that they can only get horny over adventuring and like killing mummies and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Like they bonded over that back in the day. Yeah. And now there's just...
They're trying to relive it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
without some sort of horrendous monster to kill, they got no charge.
Yeah.
But there is the opening sequence with Evelyn O'Connor, because she's now like a pulp novelist.
Yes.
You don't see her face for a bit, but you hear her voice. I think that's the scene where they're like, make her sound like Rachel Weisz. Really push that she sounds like Rachel Weisz. This is the transition scene, but I think for the rest of it, it's just kind of, it never quite plays. They maybe should have said they divorced and he's got a new wife who has the same name.
And hair,
yeah.
There's actually a few stories behind why Rachel Weisz didn't want to come back. One of them is she refused to portray somebody with a 21-year-old son. I don't know whether that's true.
No, that doesn't sound like
her. Yeah.
But we don't know anything about her. So
that's true, exactly.
Honestly.
Yeah. It could sound just like her.
Based on my limited experience of the movies, The Mummy, where she's a nice character, it doesn't sound like the actor Rachel Weisz that I know.
That's right. Rumors also circulated that Weisz didn't want to be separated from her toddler son at the time, but she's since made it clear that that had no impact on her decision whatsoever, because she did also make films in that same year.
Right.
And there's also the story that the script wasn't enough to sign on, which is probably the most likely scenario.
I'd say so.
That sounds just like Rachel Weisz.
Yeah,
the weirdo.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what else I think, though? Rick O'Connell feels like an entirely different character in a lot of ways also. And I think it's because he's lost some of his luster. And by that, I mean his golden tan. It's gone.
It is. He's quite pallid. He's ruddy in some scenes.
I mean, I guess he is. He's living in England, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's not
right.
Getting that golden Egyptian sun, is he?
That's
all day,
true,
every day.
Yeah. And I think, but I also think that some of the appeal is disappearing from Rick O'Connell in this movie, because it's very evident that they wanted to shift focus from him to new O'Connell, Alex O'Connell.
Luke Ford, yeah.
Because I streamed this, and the little description beforehand said, adventurer Alex O'Connell travels to ancient to China. And I'm like, no. Excuse me? No, I don't think so. This is a Rick O'Connell joint,
yeah.
If you don't mind.
Well, there was going to be a fourth movie with him, but we could talk about that at the end.
I heard he signed up for three more movies.
That's exactly what happened, yeah. I think he's good. Like, I don't think he's Brendan Fraser, The Mummy 1.
Right.
But I think he does a pretty serviceable job. I think the love interest stuff with him does not work at all.
Right.
They don't have any chemistry together.
Well, I have a different opinion to you. I think that he is not... I think he's barely serviceable in this movie. I think he might be... As an actor, I'm sure he's good in other things.
He is,
But I think that it's tough to follow up on Brendan Fraser as Rick O'Connell in these movies, because Rick O'Connell has this like wide-eyed manic desperation.
Yeah.
Like he's got this, clearly the way Brendan Fraser sells it in this is that something broke in him in the desert and he has never gotten it back. Like I get the feeling in a lot of the action scenes in all of these movies, he's like, I might die right here, guns blazing.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that.
You know, absolutely right.
I don't think Alex O'Connell has that. He's just like, I'm cool and smooth and I'm prepared and I'm ready to do battle and everything's going to work out fine. That's not what you want. You want a guy to just run in like a lunatic and probably get run over by a horse.
I think it also speaks to the fact that he clearly grew up in a nice home and with nice things, which is fine. Good on you. You're allowed to do that. But Rick O'Connell, even in the first movie when we didn't get his backstory, we meet him in a prison at one point.
Yeah.
He's just disheveled and they're going to hang him because he's a bad bloke.
Uh-huh.
It's not the same. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
As like a preppy kind of dude. Mm, yeah.
With an unplaceable accent.
Yeah, absolutely. Australian for some of it.
Some of it, yeah. And also I get that, you know, he was raised by an American parent and an English parent, and they've probably been all over the world.
And an Australian butler, maybe?
Maybe that's it. But also, I don't think it works.
No, I agree. Speaking of voices, though, the moment where they're showing each other the guns that I mentioned.
Yes.
Ben, if you could play a clip. What the fuck is going on with Rick O'Connell's voice in this? He sounds like a completely different character.
Mm.
You probably don't know what I'm talking about, but there's like a bluster and maybe an ADR-ness to it where it just kind of spun my head around when I'm watching this. I couldn't quite comprehend what was happening in that scene. It's no good.
James, they're showing each other their cool guns.
Okay, now I get
it. It's a father and son comparing manhood for some reason.
Speaking of comparing manhood, my favorite line from this movie is where Jonathan's butt gets lit on fire. And then he yells, spank my ass, spank my ass.
Me too.
And that's a great joke. That's the problem with this movie as well. There is not a good joke in this entire film.
There's a scene, speaking of Jonathan, there's a scene, there's a plane crash sequence where...
Because of course there is.
Well, yeah, but a yak throws up on him and he goes, the yak yaked. Is that an expression from the 40s? I don't think it is.
Well, I don't know what to tell
They've spoiled the historical accuracy of the Mummy movies for me, let me tell you. But you're right, it's all bad. It's all bad jokes.
And at the same time, I don't think there's as much stuff retread as the second one did. Mm-hmm. But there's still, like, the mummy gets resurrected. There's a chase through the streets at the start. Mm-hmm. Rick knows the best pilot who's also the worst pilot. Right. A main character gets resurrected from dying again, which happened in Mummy's Return. Yeah. So I just, it's different, but it's not different enough. And the things that it retreads is not better than the stuff that it's done before, except for the bit where the Yetis come from nowhere.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Yetis.
They have a field goal with a guy and puts his hand, you know, the Yeti puts his hands up like a field goal. It's a great reference. Yeah. That's a joke.
Shades of whichever Uncharted game it was where you fight Yetis for
yeah,
a while.
Absolutely.
And it turns out they're just dudes in suits.
They're just dudes in suits. Not this time, though. Actual Yetis.
Actual Yetis.
For
but
some
I mean,
reason.
You know, when I watch this, I'm like, well, the Yeti CGI isn't perfect. And I'm like, Yetis, come on, really. But then I realized I've been watching three movies about mummies and killer scarab beetles and whatever. And I'm
it really doesn't matter.
You got to roll with it at this point.
Yeah, you definitely do. So when Jet Li went into the pool to resurrect himself, I did not expect a three-headed crap dragon. I've seen this movie and it completely blindsided me. I also don't understand what is going on there because I think Jet Li's great. He can control the elements. He can turn into a three-headed dragon and also a dog with a horn or something. It's very vague and ill-defined.
Isn't it, right? Yeah. Did those monsters exist in ancient times? Is he inventing them on the fly? Like, it seems weird. Like, you'd think that he would start with something normal.
Yeah.
Like, he'd turn into a giraffe or something. You know, at the very least, something we are aware of. So you go, oh, he's got strange powers. And then later he'd be like, I'm going to try a dragon and see what that's like. But to immediately go, you know what, three-headed, indestructible, fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah.
Too weird.
Too weird. I think the reason that they did it this way is because they didn't have Jet Li for a lot of this. You notice he shows up in person at the start and then at the end. Everything else in the middle is a terracotta warrior or a dog or a dragon or a giraffe.
Right.
Whatever's going on there. So I think that's why they went, okay, he needs to get A to B, but we don't have Jet Li. Let's not do a CGI Jet Li other than those three faces that look terrible. Crap-looking dragon, I guess.
A to B with Jet Li. No CG. That's the one rule they laid down in this movie. And they followed through, and you got to respect him for that.
I do respect him for that. Okay, here's two improvements that I would make to this movie. First of all, keep Michelle Yeoh. She's great. She's terrific in that.
Agreed.
That's not an improvement. That's just something I feel like I need to say. She's terrific in this. She's good in everything. I would keep the sniveling British guy from the start alive till the end.
Right,
as
yes.
payback. Because the guy who betrays them, he gets murdered pretty early on.
Yeah.
And then it's just whoever, it's like henchmen and whatever.
And also, why? that's something that's just, I've just remembered. In that sequence, like, they're like, here's the thing we promised you, British guy. And he's like, now I'm going to kill you and give it to bad people. Just wait till they leave.
Yes.
And then give it to bad people. They'd never have to know.
I thought of that. It's because he needed Evelyn to unlock it.
Oh.
But I think anybody, you could get anybody to read that.
Oh, you need somebody who can read ancient Chinese. And you need someone pure of heart, is that the thing?
But you can get somebody
else. There's a bunch
else.
Of those people. Exactly.
She's done so many adventures, you wouldn't get her because you know she's going to shoot you.
Right?
That's all I'm saying.
Also, how pure heart are you? You've killed so many people at this point, Evelyn. You've probably done some bad stuff in World War II.
You're not wrong. The other thing they should have decided on was, does Jet Li have a beard or does he not have a beard? Because at the start, he doesn't have a beard.
But then he gets old.
And he does have a beard. He dies with a beard. And the terracotta, when he's in terracotta, it has a beard. But then when he's back, he doesn't have a beard.
If you dies with a beard, you got to rise with a beard. That's
everybody
the rule.
Knows that.
Everybody knows that, but they didn't follow that rule, did they?
We're doing A to B with Jet Li.
That's right.
When you rise, whatever the thing you said.
Thank
what
you.
Was it?
If you dies with a beard, you got to rise with a beard.
Exactly. So I don't know. There's so many components that I think that are there to make this work.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it made money. It didn't make as much money as the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like, it was successful enough. But it was so critically maligned and also fan-wise that they just went, we're not doing any more of
these. Right.
Yeah. I am going to talk about the fourth one, but before I do that, we mentioned briefly what happened to the Brendan Fraser over the course of these movies and other action movies he was doing at the time. Because in this movie, Mason, they should have called him bloody Ripped O'Connell, am I right? You see him shirtless. Jeez, he's looking good, isn't he? But here's the thing. He was heavily, heavily injured during the making of this film from previous movies.
Yeah, right.
We talked about it, but he's mentioned that when he was hung in the first movie, he was actually
properly hung.
He said, they killed me for 18 seconds. That's what they said.
Yeah, wow.
That's what he said. In the second movie, he tore a spinal disc, Crapped a rib.
Oh my god.
Cracked a rib and injured his knee during production. By the time he did the third mummy picture in China, this is a direct quote from him, "I was put together with tape and ice, screw cap ice packs and downhill mountain biking pads because they're small enough and light enough that you can fit them under your clothes. I was building an exoskeleton for myself daily, and his injuries led to multiple surgeries, including a laminectomy, a back procedure." Is this interesting?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting when I edit it.
Yeah, make a little list, put some dot points. Yeah. Maybe do it Mortal Kombat style, like zoom in. And, like, you see the bones explode in an x-ray.
That's a great idea. I'll send that to Ben. A back procedure to relieve pressure on his spinal cord or nerves, but the lumbar didn't take, so he had to do it again a year later. He also had a partial knee replacement, more back surgeries to bolt compressed spinal pads together, vocal cord repair, and other procedures. Fraser said he essentially spent 7 years going in and out of hospital for just pushing himself too far in these movies.
And then, right at the end, Maria Bello blew him a kiss, and the kiss, like, floated in the air, and then it landed on him, and then he exploded. Fatality.
Fatality, very good. Now he has to put it in, doesn't
That's
he?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Ready for trivia time, big time?
Yeah, trivia time,
That's
big time.
That's what this segment's called, isn't it? It's always been called that. Don't That's fucking right. at me. This is what it's called.
Don't go back and watch any previous videos, but do.
This is really the scene where it's like, shut up, we mentioned it. That's what this is.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Because, you know, there's a lot of, like, actually you forgot in the comments.
But it's called trivia time, big time.
That's
now.
Right. Also, if we miss something that you remember from this movie, it's in the extended audio edition, definitely. So just skip on over to there. We definitely mentioned the thing that you're thinking of. We even said your exact opinion. It's in that
But if you listen
podcast.
To the audio version and it's not in there, it's probably in the video version. Watch it again. Leave another like somehow. Yeah.
So the crossbow traps in the tomb scene were based in reality because, according to Chinese archaeologists, the excavation of the terracotta army is progressing so slowly, partially because it's still filled with similar traps.
Goodness. Yeah. Those are pretty hectic too.
Originally, Rob Cohen was going to kill off Rick O'Connell entirely.
I feel that's the way it was going for a while, yeah.
Definitely. Ardeth Bay, we mentioned this in the last video, he didn't return because he doesn't know nothing about China. So apparently he was asked, and he was like, I don't know nothing about China, either my character or in real life. I still would have liked to see him just to be like, we need help with some undead shit. Do you want to do this? And he's like, yeah, sure. I've got a big curved sword. That's I'm ready right. to go.
I've been oiling this curved sword for ages. I've been oiling this curved sword all the way through World War II. Hoping somebody would be like, you want to swing that curved sword? Yes, I do. Yes, sir. Oh, wait, Chinese mummies. Nah, can't do it. Yeah. Good luck, idiots.
And also, of course, the club owned by Jonathan is Imhotep. Imhotep's club. It's after the other. We saw it. I mentioned it. It's not right. interesting, but it's in there. I've said it, haven't I?
That's right. And then afterwards, and after the events of The Mummy 3, obviously, he opens a curry store called Vosloo's Vindaloo's.
I'd eat that.
Me too.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about The Mummy 4. No, not Tom Cruise's The Mummy 4, which is technically maybe The Mummy 4.
Oh, nuts. I'm not interested then.
So Rise of the Aztec, or Aztecs, mm-hmm. was supposed to come out in 2014, also with Rob Cohen. Brendan Fraser, Maria Bello, and Luke Ford had signed on. As you mentioned, Luke Ford was in for the trilogy. Mm. In for a trilogy, in for a pound, is that the expression?
Mm-hmm. In for a trilogy, in for a thrilogy.
Oh, very good. Mm. I'm never good at these things. You're so good at them. It upsets me.
I'm just rhyming words. Most of the time, it doesn't even make any sense. Don't go back and think
that
about it.
That one made sense though, didn't it? Scarlett Johansson and Bryce Dallas Howard. They're his love interests, but one of them probably betrays him at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Ling is dead or something. His love interest from this.
That's why he needs a couple more love interests.
That's apparently the line in the movie as well. Ling is dead or something.
Yeah. I need a couple more now.
Yeah. Antonio Banderas would have played the main antagonist.
Wow.
I know. I like that.
That's an all-star cast.
Yeah. And Jeremy Irons would have played a cursed Aztec eagle soldier. Oh. That is more fitting, yes. That guy can do any accent. He can do German. He can do regular. He can do weird albino guy living underground in the Time Machine movie. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember that movie.
Remember when he turned up at the end and everyone went, is this a bad movie?
I just remember there being that movie. I don't remember him being in it.
Terrific. Well, he is. Anyways, I didn't like it. It felt like a real drag, if I'm honest. And it kind of goes out with a whimper for me, this trilogy. And I don't know if I do want to see any more of these. At the start, when we did the first one, I'm like, oh my God, I love this movie.
I'll see 100 more of these.
Yeah. But two in, no,
I
not
think
so
this
much.
I look, honestly, having not seen it before, I think this is worth a watch. Okay. I'm glad I seen it.
Great. Would you recommend it to a friend?
Yeah.
Me?
No, you said you didn't like it.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're a good friend.
Thank you.
Anyways, of course, we do Caravan of Garbage here every week. You got a suggestion? Leave it below. Also, we have Patreon polls to see, like, what do you want to see?
That's right.
And these often go up early. Actually, every week they go up early. Oh. So if you do want to see them early, head on over there. It's linked below. And here's a hint towards next week's episode. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Do you want me to bring up the list again?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you want me to?
No, it's okay.
I can do it.
No, don't.
I'm already doing it, Mason.
Oh, my goodness. This guy's on fire.
I just feel like people deserve it, Mason, mm-hmm. don't they? The people who stuck around for the extended audio edition to hear all the things that we left out.
Yeah, spinning our wheels at the end.
You know it is.
Absolutely worth it.
So, Doom.
Wait, remember which one?
The one that we already recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Like last year. We're getting around to that.
The Rock Doom?
Yeah, the Rock Doom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thought that was out.
At least, yeah. At least we don't have to record it again because we already did it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what a dream.
Oh, that means Doom Eternal's coming out soon.
That's right. Yes. Also, of course, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Subscribe if you want, and we'll be back. We love being back, don't we?
We love being back.
We love being back.
Had a good time with this trilogy. Suggest us another trilogy.
Ah, don't.
An even worse trilogy.
Oh, do.
Yes.
Also, of course, we've got our League of Extraordinary Gentlemen commentary. That is up if you want to see it. If you want some Dark Universe stuff.
Little hint for the audio listeners. We're just about to record it, so.
Not. I don't want to.
No, neither I.
All right. See you guys later.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.